Good morning. My name is Joel, and I'm going to be the person responsible for the call during the day. We would like to welcome you all to the conference of the financial results of the third quarter of 2018. All lines have been placed in mute to avoid any type of background noise. We will have some question and answer session afterwards. If you have any questions, please dial hashtag asterisk, and then you will be able to ask a question. Then you will hear Ricardo Sierra, CEO of Suncelsia. Mr. Sierra, please go ahead. Thank you, Samuel, and welcome you all. Thank you so much for joining us today in this teleconference of the third quarter results of the year. We are filled with good energy and ready to give you a good set of results. The results are a consequence of the efforts of our people, which is what enables us to continue growing and strengthening our businesses. Their talent and culture make a difference in the business and the industry. We're making good progress in the execution of the strategy in renewable energy, consolidating and strengthening the operations in Colombia and Central America, and to reaching a higher amount of customers to give them a better experience. In this sense, I would like to highlight the information that you knew at the beginning of this month of the potential buy of from Elsa to Elsa. They are doing an analysis to buy some possible buy of analysis and the construction of San Andres. This would add about 60 megawatts of installed capacity. We also consider in the possible transaction the buy of the wind project in Bolívar, Santander and Tolima. At the same time, CEPSA would be the commercial representation of the commercial plan. As a result of this transaction, this would consolidate their operation in Colombia through EPSA. They will be the company devoted to distributing energy, and they will be responsible also for the operational businesses in the country. EPSA would be the highest market share in terms of technology, which improves the technological information in the company. This possible transaction has achieved all the transference elements in order to safeguard the interest of all the stakeholders. The purpose of this project has had the counseling of different companies and in terms of legal and financial elements. This consolidation process of Colombia started with the organization and the increase of the shareholder activity in Celsius, which is 6.3%, and which is now going to include the assets by EDSA. We hope that we have the shareholder meeting on November 20, where we will notify this or confirm this operation we just confirmed. At the same time, we have increased our share participation in Begonia, reaching 57%. The company has four projects of wind power generation located in Guajira, which already have an environmental license. In total, projects reach about 330 megawatts. Celsius, since 2016, has been working with Begonia in the development of these projects. We still have some milestones to reach, and in the next months, we hope Celsius is going to reach 100% of the property of Begonia. We are very happy with this co-development program, and then this brings us in the possibility to develop wind power banks in Colombia, and that makes us very happy.
In Panama,
we have announced the purchase of Division Solar, a plant of 9.9 megawatts capacity and a transmission line of 2.8 kilometers at 34.5 kilowatts up to the interconnection point or agreed with EDEMED. This is one of the main companies distribution electricity plants in Panama. It's located in Corregimiento of Llano Santo y Cocle, and it's about 17 hectares. It's our first solar plant in Panama that is added to 1.5 megawatts of solar roofs that we are already installing with our customers in that country. We also have another project of 30 megawatts to be developed in our hydroelectrical central in some lands that we have there. So we are doing we're working very hard to develop our solar or wind or sorry our solar portfolio there. In total, our project wind projects solar projects is going to add about in 5 years some 560 megawatts additional to the 75 megawatts that we already have, which means that we have a generation matrix that is highly important for that is going to come from wind and sun. Now, let's move into the projects that you perhaps already know and that are additional to this project, especially for Plan 5 Caribe. We have finished during this quarter 4 projects out of the 7 that had been allocated in Plan 5, an investment of 105 billion by finishing the construction of 2 substations and improving another, and the construction of 21 new networks of 110 kilowatts. The new Barranquilla Norte, Caracolí, and Bayocar projects are moving forward as planned, and they should be starting operation in the coming weeks. We will have an increase of 81 billion in T&D incomes for the next year. This is a very important thing for the EBITDA next year. Regarding the progress in the sun generation project, our project in Santa Rosa de Lima and Bolivar have a capacity of 8.1 megawatts and will be working this month. It's going to be our second solar farm in Colombia. We're also making progress in Celsius Solar, Bayopar, and Chicamocha, where we're making progress in the licensing, and we hope to start working in the second semester 2019 and the first semester of 2020 correspondingly. These projects will add about 150 megawatts to our generation matrix, and they will bring more than 80 billion pesos of incomes. The San Andres project is 20%, has made a progress of 20%. It makes part of the assets that we will give to EPSA. We are continuing working in the different construction elements, and we are in the final part of the electromechanical team equipment. So we hope to work on the tunnel. It's a small conduction tunnel, and all the process to support the cathode machines. In the new businesses, and then regarding the transformation of customer experience, we have started with Odinsa, the project of solar energy in an airport in Latin America, which is the El Dorado International Airport, which is going to have Celsius and an ally in energetic efficiency, and we're going to be working in the investment, maintenance, operation, and maintenance of a photovoltaic solar system. This system is going to have a 2.8 megawatts capacity. So for that, we're going to install more than 10,000 panels that will generate 3.9 gigawatts hour year, which is 12% of the consumption of the terminal. It's about 1,600 households. And the system will reduce 1,357 tons of CO2, which is equivalent to 76,000 mature trees. That's the environmental effect of these panels, so it's huge. Celsius and Odinsa are consolidating now as reference companies in terms of sustainability and innovation by achieving that El Dorado Airport is the leader in the implementation of clean energies. In Colombia, we have delivered the contracts of the Compra de Gas Media Electrica, and then with this plant was allocated 1,329 gigawatts per year up to 2022 through this mechanism of assignation for existing plants. This is important to continue making viable Media Electrica for over 3 years. Before giving a general context on the industry, I would like to tell you that at the end of September, we reached 618 customers, 1,000 customers, which is a little bit higher than our estimates. We continue strengthening the customer experience in terms of the conventional energy market and also in new businesses. The expectations of growth are very positive, and we have made investments that enable us to continue our development. The consolidated investments were about 380 $382 billion, growing 28%. In Colombia, we executed a lot of investment for $372 billion, and in Central America for $5.8 million. In Colombia, we highlight investments of $245 billion in transmission and distribution, $70 billion in generation, and $59 billion in support and process and continuity of business. Now, let's talk about the general context of the industry. In Colombia, the general accumulated energy of the SIN during the quarter showed an increase of 4.4% if compared to 2017. The regulated market grew by 3%, and we highlight the superior increase of 6% in the non-regulated market. This behavior was promoted mainly by a favorable context, economical context in the country. The demand of energy in EFSA is in line with our national project, which is 3.1%. Now, regarding the hydric reports of the SIN, they showed a 95% over the historical measure. So this is what we have seen because of the rain levels. The added level in the reservoirs were 78%, and then NEFSA, the hydrical contributions were 91% in the historical medium, and then the reservoirs were 48%. Different models of international agents in climate conditions continue keeping a probability of 70% over the possibility of having a mild El Niño phenomenon for the first quarter next year. So that means that El Niño is kind of threatening still. The price of energy continues low now that there was a price of 92 pesos per kilowatt per hour, which is 4% lower than the prices of last year, which was 96 pesos. So pay attention, we have been 18 months with low prices in the stock market. In the price of contracts in the regulated market reported by the system reached an average of 109 pesos per kilowatt, which is an increase of 7%. In Panama, the total generation of the system reached 2,770 gigawatts per year, and the marginal cost of energy was $73 per megawatt hour, which is 98% higher if compared to the same quarter last year. The price of diesel reported in the thermal plants increased 8%, the bunker increased 34%, and carbon increased 18%. So that matrix is very independent for the other system. So this shows a little bit in terms of the general results of the projects that we are making progress. And then I would like Esteban, our CFO, to tell us a little bit about the operational results and financial results. Remember that all this detail is posted in our website for investors. So in case you want to go deeper into that, Esteban, please go ahead. Thank you, Ricardo. Well, during the third quarter, the consolidated incomes reached 252 billion, which is an increase of 8.4, higher than the previous year. We highlight 688 billion of the operation in Colombia, which grew 18%, and in Central America, $52 million, which is a reduction of 19%. Accumulated per year, the incomes are 2.5 trillion with a growth of 11%. The incomes in Colombia represent 79% of the total consolidated, while in Central America they represent 21%. If we see it in terms of the business, the generation of energy in Colombia added 322 billion, growing by 21%. The generation during the quarter was 1,280 gigawatts per hour, and with a hydroelectrical component reduced, drop 80% if compared to last year, based on the strategy of EFSA, which wants to continue with the hydric reservoir of the organization. In the free trade, Celsia, we increased 83% due to the restrictions in the Costa Caribe area, which had to use the central generation energy. The amount of energy sold on the stock market was about 740 gigawatts without a variation of the previous year, and then it added 200 billion in Fincoms. On the other side, the amount of energy sold in countries was 740 gigawatts, increased by 4%, and it added 32 billion pesos. The reliability charge was 90 billion pesos and reduced 5%, due mainly to the maintenance activities that were performed in Zona Franca during their semester that affect negatively the income on that regard. In Central America, the generation of incomes reached 152 billion, which is equivalent to 52 billion pesos, which represents a reduction of 19%. That reduction is caused mainly by the combination of the Cativa contracts with some of the distributors, and we hope it recovers based on the strategy that was mentioned before in terms of bilateral contracts of medium and long term with big customers. And also, we want to, with previous agreements with Cativa that has a higher power on energy. Regarding the transmission distribution, the income zone use of connections added 70 billion and a growth of 6%. There was a positive behavior due to the demand of the local distribution and better incomes and the increase of the IPP. The incomes of the retail commercialization added 266 billion, a growth of 13%. Due to a better market, regulated and non-regulated market. In this regard, I would like to highlight the retail trader added 592 gigawatts during the quarter, which is a 5% increase. In the non-regulated market, thanks to our commercial job, our sale of energy increased by 12%. But then the market average was 6%. In the next quarters, we hope that this trend continues. The regulated demand in ESA kept in the same levels of the previous quarter. The commercialization of gas and transportation added 27 billion, showing an increase of 109% due to higher volumes of commercialized volumes due to the events happening in the Caribbean region. In other operational incomes added 13 billion with an important increase during the same period 2017 due to a consolidation of new products and services. The cost of consolidated sales added to 623 billion pesos, growing 18%. The variable cost added 433 billion, which represents 70% of the total amount. And this explains mainly the increase in the total consolidated sales. In this variable cost, the main consolidation is the natural gas, which explains this growth, and also the more purchases of energy at a higher price in Central America for the energy contracts. On the other hand, the fixed cost reached 166 billion pesos, we show that a reduction of 5% if compared to the previous year. In terms of consolidated administration, this registered 54 billion, increasing 4%. During this quarter, we had the new line of portfolio of 2018 and new regulations. And then if we reduce the portfolio, the consolidated, we have a 4.3 if compared to the previous year. Approved of our operation, the EBITDA is 249 billion, 12% over what we had in the previous year. Colombia contributed with a EBITDA of 189 billion, which represents 67% of the consolidated EBITDA. And then in Central America contributed with $21 million, which represents 33% of the consolidated EBITDA. In the accumulated of the consolidated EBITDA records 819 billion pesos, billion, which is a little bit over what we recorded last year. Net debt closes the third quarter with 3 billion pesos of 2.6 times of the EBITDA, which is a very positive behavior if you compare it with the 12-month baseline, where we had a debt of 3.5 trillion and indicator of 3.3 times. We have canceled debts for 760 billion, and we have also have a better debt with better financial and deadlines, which enable us to have better profile of due dates. In these terms, I would like to mention the interest during the quarter associated mainly to the financial debt have reduced by 7.1% if compared to 2017. At this point, I would like to tell you that we received a recognition of the best financing for Central America agreed, provided by Latin Finance Newsweek, due to the corporate bonus of $320 million that we did in 2017 in our operations in Panama, and which is considered, which is the best corporate issuing in the market of capital in Panama. The company had a net income of $64 billion, producing 31%. If we discount the minatory interest, the net result attributable to the proprietors of the controller would be $46 billion. The accumulated year, the net income registers $243 billion, increasing 35% if compared to 2017, and the attributable result is $164 billion, increasing 49%. By the end of the quarter, we closed the cash bulge with $265 billion at consolidated level due to operational consolidated level. The generation of cash and the different alternatives of financing enable us to move profitable in our growth projects mentioned by Ricardo before. With this, we're closing the figures, operational financial figures. Ricardo is going to make some recognitions that we received this year or this month. Thank you, Esteban. We are going to clarify the trend of the EBITDA for this quarter, which, when you look at the graph, is not goes down, but then the feeling that we will have, we will kind of tell you what we are envisioning for that and how we can analyze that. Just to close, a very interesting topic. You know that we work a lot on the sustainability and environmental topics. We have very important programs regarding the central. We work in different projects, and then all the things that we do in the company to generate that sustainability, which is at the end what matters, to generate resources and long-term sustainability for the company. So we receive from the Dow Jones Sustainability Index a recognition as being the first in the company in the market sector, the ones that measure in Mexico, Peru, Chile, and Colombia. So we're very happy for that recognition. We are now in the index, and we reached the seventh place among all the global levels. So this makes us very happy and ratifies that we have to continue working on that sustainability field. This is the end of our report. We hope that we can continue moving forward, consolidating our business, and that we have a profitable growth, focusing a lot in the customer service, and then in that way we can generate a good value to all our shareholders, so we can open the floor for conversation and to go deeper into all this information. Thank you, Samuel.
En este momento nos gustaría recordarles a todos que para hacer alguna pregunta, por favor,
if you would like to ask any question, please dial asterisk and number one in your phone. Star one to make questions.
Y su primera pregunta,
the first question
viene de la
is coming
Juliana
from
Maya.
Juliana Maya. Please go ahead.
Muy buenos días.
Good morning. Thanks for the presentation. My question is the following. Can you please tell us what's the progress in the renegotiation of the contracts that are due or are about to be due in Panama, that is Cativa Bahía de las Minas? Thank you. Thank you, Julian. We're doing very well. Cativa, the contract is due. We are using it for different commercial strategies. And in terms of BLM, we have been working on a renegotiation process, getting some results from that contract. It's a process that is in developing in this moment. It's an extensive project. We have been working the last 3 months with different government agents and with our partners. So we hope that hopefully soon we can tell you what's the result of this agreement. In this moment, we don't have any much more information to tell you, but we're working very hard on that. I believe, Esteban, that in less than 15 days we should be having a green light for this chapter, right?
Yes.
Let's say that we are in the final phases for this contract of Loyalas Minas, where we will have about 6 more years of stability or clarity in terms of this perspective, in line with the commercial expectations for that. And then regarding what Ricardo is saying in terms of the backup of the operation, as I was saying, during the conference on the operational results part, Cativa from previous stations has an increase in terms of the power of energy with the different distributors. In 2018, we had a little valley in terms of that contracting, and now we are making progress in that sense. Actually, Julian, I would say that another important piece of information that we are developing in Panama is the big customer segment, right? And then we are allocating an important percentage of energy to contracts, long and middle term contracts with big customers in Panama, which is a segment of the market that was not developed and that will has been implemented here in Colombia that has worked very well. We actually hope that we bring news in the next call. Thank you so much. Next question coming from David Galante from the Deutsche Bank. Hello, this is from the Deutsche Bank. Well, my question has to do with the joint venture that you have for Begonia. Could you please explain if the investment that you have announced in the market is proportional to what you have in now? And then if in the contract are you required to be 100% of the total cost of the production at the end? And also if you could give us some information regarding the process of Electricaribe, because at the end, why you decided not to participate there? Well, let me ask Esteban to provide you the milestones that we had agreed with our partner to co-develop this project and what would be the value we should be closing this investment. This is something that makes us very happy, which is the wind park, and then it places in a good position to go into incorporating it into our portfolio. Regarding Electrocaribe, I would like to tell you a couple of things. We have assessed this topic carefully in an Electricaribe. It's a transaction with a very relevant size. It's about 0.8 million. That for the size of Celsia, obviously, is not, it was not viable to do the whole Electricaribe. Additionally, the visibility of possible alliances that generated a complex position in terms of administration. So what has been our message to government? And due to financial prudence, as usual, we decided not to go into that because of the size of that market. Still, if the government decided in the midterm to seek and to pursue a scheme in which we could split Electricaribe, go to schemas that we had in the past with two companies that would take care of the entire cost, that would make it more possible for Celsia to consider that option, we would be interested in considering that. But because of the size, it was totally inconvenient for us. So that was the decision. The decision was financial prudence. You know that we currently have the best quality of energy in the country. In the rural market, we take care of our customers, and we're making progress in terms of the quality of the service permanently. So for us to transfer our model of service, to take care of our customers and the way of reaching customers, we have to do it step by step and things that we are able to digest. And clearly,
the size of Electricaribe was not would not enable us to do an adequate transition towards that business. So thinking about those customers, we have to take good care of that. And then in the financial stability, we decided to not to go into that stage. But we are waiting to see if the government makes a different decision to look for a different option. That's in general terms what we wanted to tell you. I don't know if we have any other question or if we want to go somewhere else. No, this is very clear, thank you. Well, Begonia, let me tell you about Begonia. It's not a GDF, it's just an agreement, co-development agreement. And then due to the structuration, what happened was that we achieved some milestones, and then based on that we purchased some shares until we reach 100%. So the way the business is structured is that the company will always be 100% our property at the end of the milestones. Now we have three milestones to go, which are mainly the confirmation of the CAPEX of connection, now that we have the approval connections approved. We are pending of the environmental license for connection. We have the licenses for the parks, but not for the lines, because obviously we were missing, we needed to know how the connections were going to be made, so to ask for the licenses, and then after we close that part, we will have one more milestone, which is related to the financial model for this investor. Once we had agreed all the, or we have reached all the elements, so this would be the milestone, because if we don't fulfill certain parameters, then they will have lower parameters or lower values or legal values that could reach up to even zeros. We're talking about 35 billion pesos and 25 and 30 billion pesos would be yet to be paid. So the co-development agreement is that we are paying as we have, as they have fulfilled these milestones, and then now we are about 330 megawatts wind park confirmation in 2021, the first megas in 2022. And then in 22 and 24, we will have those 250 megawatts additional. None of these depend in the connection. So they are linked to the attachments that have already been made in the Guajira Cesar Magdalena system. One additional question. What is the CAPEX final per megawatts are you expecting for these projects? And you have talked about four projects. I see Costa Camela, you're talking about two different projects. Is it because it's split?
No,
it's four generation parks that basically due to connection purposes, we have split them in two bigs, but they are four parks, which are Acacia, Camellia 1, and Camellia 2. So those are four different parks. Let's say that one of them is the one that is in 80 megawatts. The other three are the ones that were authorized to be connected from one different point of connection. From there, we will have a length of 250 megas, but it's four different parts. So regarding the CAPEX for the bid, we have to say that, as you saw, and mainly because of what we are going to participate in these parks, this information is going to be kept under reservation until we finish this process. I do understand. One final question. If you want to, are we going to have some KPIs with some different customers, or are we going to handle the parks independently of the customers that are interested in that? That's a very interesting question. When we started developing this, we didn't visualize the cold. So for us, it's very important, this generation in our portfolio. It complements highly well the hydrical park that we have, the hydro park that we have. So those parks, you know, that are over 50% of. So clearly, we, in terms of independently from the auction, we would be very interested in developing these projects. Obviously, we are in the progress of making it viable, so we have to go through our board of directors and all that stuff, but then everything says, shows that independently from the auction, we can develop those projects. Okay, thank you.
Siguiente pregunta, Angela González.
Coming question from Angela González from Craig Court. Hello. Thank you so much for the presentation. I have several questions. The first one is that I've seen that the sun generation has shown important drops if compared to 2017, especially for 15% for this quarter. I would like to know what's behind that. I would like also to understand the structure of the marginal cost that showed an important increase in Panama, over 90%, and also based on all this increase in the cost of the sales, specifically in Colombia, of 29% due to an important increase in the GNL gas. So I would like to know what Celsia positioning to, how is it positioned to face a possible Niño phenomena, which is going to be weak. There is a 70% chance that it's going to actually happen. So those would be my questions. Okay, Angela. I'm going to reply the last one. I believe Esteban, I don't know if we need some clarity for the first one, which I perhaps did not understand. But regarding El Niño, everybody hopes that it's going to be mild. Those are the ideas. There are some models that say that that's what is going to happen in terms of the atmosphere and the winds and the increase in temperature of the ocean, which might tell us that it's going to be mild or to moderate. But I believe Colombia first is closing with reservoir levels somehow high, much higher than what we had in 2015, which was after two summer times that were complicated, and the summer of 2014 was ratified as El Niño, so we had two Niños in a row. So I would say that in terms of the system, finishes with a very good level of water. It finishes with a regulatory system that enables the thermal companies to generate without any issues. We have the regasification company working well, or plant working well, so the different scenarios are very positive so that the system can face El Niño. We're also closing a good level of reservoirs to reach the summertime, so we hope that we get the end of the increase the levels of our reservoirs. So, Esteban, if you want, you can continue with the next question. Well, let me start from the sun part, polar part in Central America, and then I can complement with what Ricardo was saying. Regarding the sun part, the solar part, let's say that in the plant we had a failure of one of the inverters that was repaired by the manufacturer due to a warranty process. So that affected the production during some months. That has been corrected, and the plant is operating 100%. So it was a small failure in one of the equipment of the plant. That explains the drop in the generation of the plant. It's important to remember that we are talking about a that it's kind of volatile generation. In Central America, Ricardo mentioned this at the beginning of the teleconference. It has a highly correlated with thermal fuels, and then that's why we had some volatility in the first quarter of 2017 was marked mainly because of the production of energy, hydraulic energy that took a great part of the energy for that quarter, and that pushed the marginal cost down. For this year, we had two realities. The first one is that there was I got in Chiriquí, which we know that the hydroelectric park was generating at the highest level. We had several days limited, and we could not generate as much as we wanted. That obviously increased the contribution of the electric plant that for this semester we're working in the coast north. And general part plant, and as it's normal in any part, they had to come in and come out, so that did not enable us to use this information, but also purchasing more expensive energy for that energy to be produced, and then that obviously pushes the marginal cost of the system, and this is generating what you were saying, basically moving from 45 hours to a marginal cost that was about $65 per, at the end of the quarter. That's Central America, that's part normal part of what we happened. We hope that with the work of ICE, now we have a new a normal operation, and then the cost is going to normalize. And then regarding in the variable cost in Colombia, it's correlated with the price of GNL. We're talking about the generational restrictions, and we see important restrictions in terms of the cost of gas. Those increases obviously do not affect negatively the organization because of the generation, because of the restrictions, we don't lose money. Basically, we have the possibility to translate our costs. We have not lost money, but the increase is also reflected in the price of the sale that we have for that energy. So that's correlated with El Nino. We are very well prepared for this. People feel very confident on that. We have important capacities of purchase that when we faced the phenomenon of El Nino, and there was an increase in these prices and the scarcity prices, the margin that we have in the operation for variable cost is very important, and then that will lead us to get the important profits, important results in terms of profits. Okay, thank you. Thank you for all your answers, and now everything is more clear. Next question coming from Diana Mosquera, Sura Asset Management.
Señora Mosquera, su línea está abierta.
Aló, ¿me escuchan? Buenos días.
Can you hear me?
Hola, Diana.
Hola, Diana.
Hola, buenos días. Gracias.
Good morning. Thanks. I just wanted to know more about the process of purchases of assets from Celsia to EFSA, and if there you have quantified what is going to be the synergies in terms of this process.
Perfect, Diana.
As we said, let's say that this is the end, the last part of a stage of the organization, of all the operations are in the NIT of EFSA in Colombia. So we are going to move the different elements of the different centrals. We are going to move all this topic to the wind park project. So we're going to have the commercial representation of Eléctrica and some lands that we have in the development of solar projects in Bolívar and Santander. So all that package is going to simplify a lot the organization from the point of view, but the synergies are going to be captured in the last, have been captured in the last 3 years when we did the administrative integration in 2016 and 17, 15 and 16, and with all the process of integrating during these years. So actually to move these development capacities of this project that we had in Celsia to incorporate them into EFSA and also to maximize the results. And you can see that in the development of the different lines, the solar lines, the development of the solar line, the development of abilities to develop small centrals, the wind project that we have mentioned here in this conference. So in terms of the capacities, more than in the synergies, from the point of view of the efficiencies, operational efficiencies, that we internally like to work more in terms of the development of capacities by saving costs. So that's a little bit the situation there. We hope that on November 20 to give you more details on the amounts of the operation, Let's give you more financial details, because that's something that we're going to discuss in the meetings that we're going to have, the shareholder meetings that we're going to hold. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, Diana.
Siguiente pregunta, Juan Trujillo de Porvenir.
Next question, Juan Trujillo Porvenir.
Buenos días, muchas
good morning,
por,
thank you so much for the call.
Y de pronto
and I just wanted to complement the previous question regarding the materialization of the El Niño. The company has good hydric reserves to face this situation, but I wanted to know if you have any estimates regarding the proportion of the thermal generation and hydric generation that you could achieve, and how could this affect the margins in the coming quarters. Thank you. Thank you, Juan. Well, I don't know, Esteban, what do you think? Because what we have is that we have to be very careful in terms of providing what we have, what we have agreed in terms of energy, and then what we can do is we can drop the stock price. But in terms of the thermal part, it's very likely that we're going to be working at full. Let me tell you something, Juan. If you see the generation for this year, we have half of the plant of Flores operating because of the restrictions process. That will be solved when Caracolí starts working, which is what we're doing because of the Plan Cinco Caribe. But then the exceptions that have been impressive in the Caribbean coast, so that's why they have asked us to start the thermal plants. So we are combining the two situations. Esteban, what would be our estimates? Well, in terms of the proportion, what we produce in terms of the energies and the hydroelectric plants, we produce about 3,800 gigas per year. Only in the Zona Franca plant can produce about 6,000 megawatts per year. So let's say that we can produce 1.5 times the energy is produced by Zona Franca if compared by the hydroelectric factors. So in terms of the proportion of the Niño, let's say that we expect is that the phenomenon is going to demand more energy, that we are going to develop more thermal energy than the hydric energy that we're going to develop. From the perspective, are lower the thermal than the hydroelectric energy. So because of the variable cost, we have to pay fuel, and the other, no. So that generates that the thermal gives us a lower percentage margin per income. But then the EBITDA would hopefully be, if we have a Niño for these conditions, the EBITDA should be growing in an important way. If the El Niño is translated in an increase of the stock market price, which is we believe is going to happen, or that activates the generation of thermal energy in the plants. So that's a little bit the picture that we have. We don't have specifically a figure to give you. It's more about of depending on the conditions, depending on how much thermal plants are demanded. But then if they are demanded, the capacity that we can produce, the EBITDA is going to be benefited importantly, but the margins percentually are going to be lower because of the fact that we have to use more resources that have, in terms of the cost of the fuel.
Perfecto, muchas gracias.
Okay, thank you. So because of the El Niño, we would face it in a very positive way, hopefully. Next question, Diego Huitrago from Bancolombia. Good morning. Thanks for the presentation. I would like to get some information regarding of a situation that took place during this quarter in which we see EBITDA margins from Celsia in the lower limit of that rank between 30 and 35% that we where the margin should be moving. Including in EFSA, we saw a margin historically low for a company like EFSA that has all of the generation, hydroelectric generation, facing this Niño, so we hope, we will hope that the margin remains in these levels, or do you think it's going to be over under this long and mid-term range? And then the second question is, how are we doing in terms of licensing with the government or the states of the Chicamocha and Valledupar projects, and what are the estimated starting dates for the construction? Regarding the first question is to understand more if those low margins in EFSA in terms of high hydric condition, the picture for El Niño would be less important. So what would you tell us about that? Well, perfect, Diego. Let me talk about the EBITDA. And it's true that it's an EBITDA that was a little bit low. And this is basically because of the price of in the stock market has hit it very hard. That price has been 18 months, as we mentioned, at about 80 and 70 pesos. And you know that we have to deliver about 70 pesos to the system. Actually, what is we're getting in margin in the generation that we have in the stock market, which is about 25 or 30% of what we are calculated in the stock market price, that's hitting us hard. So that would be the one of the main explanations because of the cost lines. We have it very well controlled. I don't know, Esteban, if you can give more information in that regards. Well, regarding the margins topic, as Ricardo is saying, is that we have a mixture of topics. The margin in Zona Franca was lower because of the increase in the GNL, so let's say that we didn't have a mini maneuver margin in terms of this. So we were transferring almost all the cost and getting little margin in terms of the operations. So that affects negatively the comparison of the margins, but what we were saying also is that it's not concerning us in terms of the perspective of El Niño. The plant is working well, and then the security margins, which has very important characteristics, and that give us some windows, but then in general terms is something that is controlled, and we don't have any much to say there. EFSA is a little bit low because of what Ricardo is saying. We have been impacted by the price in the stock market, as in spite of what we saw in the 2018. For this quarter has been even lower than 2017, affecting negatively the volume of generation that we have in the stock market, in the plant. And then what is also impacting us in a way is that there are some costs that we are retaining today in terms of the plant Cinco Caribe Monteria, which was ready for the commercial transaction, that we have actually had to keep it that way since February this year, but because of some delays in the interconnection line, we will have to start working as of October. So we were a little bit hurt in terms of costs there. There are some additional costs that are one single time. Those also had an impact during the quarter from the point of view of the EBITDA. So, but then basically, when you go back to the effects of this, from the point of view of the margin, you will find figures that are around 34, which are even closer to the medium of EFSA, obviously because of a good semester, because of the EFSA is not going to have an impact in because of El Niño. From the point of view of water, for this brings positive news. So El Niño is concerning, but not that much from the thermal perspective, because we're in good position to face. In terms of the licensing of Valledupar and Chicamocha, we're waiting for the environmental license for Valledupar by the beginning of 2019, and we should be starting the contract, the hiring process to build that in the next week, facing the fact that the plant is operating in the second semester of this next year, at the beginning of the second semester, that's a little bit the wind that we have for Valledupar. And then the environmental license for Chicamocha, we are also waiting between the end of 2018 and 2019, and we have to see the combination of the construction, because there we need to create a substation, a connection substation, which we are estimating some details with EPM, now that that is an area of ESA controlled by EPM. So we are finishing the creation, there are some arrangements of the substation, which is basically the route to determine the connection of the solar plant. Valledupar does not only need to be built and connected, but no substation is required, so Valledupar is going to be faster. Thanks. In these projects, as Chicamocha and Valledupar, is there a possibility to have a connecting some customers like in Jumbo, or is it going to be connected to a system? No, at the beginning, these are going to be for generation of energy. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Diego.
Siguiente pregunta,
next question, Andrés Moncada from BTG.
Hola, buenos días a todos. Muchas gracias por la
Thank you so much for the presentation. I have a question regarding the regulatory signals made by the government, specifically with the long-term contracts and with this schema, and to know what's your position regarding the opportunities that may arise from this new schema, and also the risk in the midterm in terms of the overcapacity of the system and how Celsia is preparing for this scenario, or how they are going to participate in this scenario. Well, yes, these signals need to be taken carefully. In other countries, when they have generated this type of auctions, what has happened is that there has been a lot of speculation from those who developed the projects, and then the systems have been overloaded, generating complicated situations. So through the different associations, we have told these concerns to the government, and we believe they are going to give into consideration to learn from those mistakes that have happened in other countries. What the truth is that what makes us very excited is that we're going to work in the Colombian matrix. We're going to bring sun and wind, which are required to complement that help, which is also like going to the global trends. Regarding the long-term contracts, we are still having questions and doubts regarding the schema that is being proposed for the participation of demand in the auction, particularly because of the risks that demand will have to take, and especially because of the conditions of the deadlines that have been requested. So we are having those discussions, regulatory discussions, through the different associations. We hope there are some adjustments. Actually, yesterday they announced that there are going to be some adjustments. Therefore, there is a small delay in the auction. So we hope that that's going to evolve so that we get a good contract, that we avoid that hiring, because it's harmful for everybody. So imagine that, for example, in Australia, finally, who has paid those discussions is the end customer, who has been paying a high increase in the rates. So doing that has a collateral effect that is very complicated. So we are working very hard on this and with these different projects so that we can facilitate the process, and supporting the fact that the country goes into the renovation non-conventional in a very positive way. I don't know, Esteban, if you want to mention something else there. No, Ricardo, I believe this answer is quite correct. Thank you, Andres.
Siguiente pregunta,
next
Juliana
question,
García,
Juliana García from Multa Cercin.
Hello, what is it?
Okay, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Juliana.
Hello.
Thanks for the presentation. My question is regarding Zona Franca. as we had discussed, that the losses or the deterioration of the EBITDA for this quarter had to do because they have generated because of security. So I would like to know, what are the prospects for this asset? Are you planning to sell it? What are you planning to do with this asset, especially because now you're focusing more on taking the matrix, Telecom matrix, to be more renewable energy, and this asset would be a little bit different. So what are you planning to do with this asset, and what do you think about that? Thank you, Juliana. Well, listen, we are very happy with the development of this, the performance of this asset. It has responded, it has given security to the system. It's an asset that we have invested a lot in terms of its maintenance, operation levels. We have a human team that is very valuable there. So we are working very hard and very happily with them. In terms of the results, clearly, they hit the margin, but they are generating profit. it's a smaller margin, but then it hasn't stopped generating contributions, so we have it there. The fact that we are focusing on the unconventional renewable focus, well, the unconventional renewable still have a lot of intermittency problems. So sun and wind are resources that, as you know, are intermittent. So it's very important that Colombia, and we in our matrix in Celsius, we consider a technical portfolio to support those sources that are intermittent. So that's important to be considered. Until we don't get schemas of powerful storage schemas which are reducing, dropping prices. We have in Jumbo different technologies. How little by little those technologies, intermittent technologies, get more strength. Until that doesn't happen in terms of scale and utility, we won't be able to forget the thermal production. So we see that our portfolio has a balance and making a good push in terms of renewable non-conventional energies. Okay, thank you, Ricardo. And thanks again for the presentation. We don't have any more questions. Please, let's hear the final comments. Thank you all. We hope that we close a good year. We are at the end of the year. All the teams are focused on closing where we want it to be. Thank you so much for your time. We will give you more news during this quarter on different things. Thank you so much. Thank you, Samuel, for everything. In this way, we conclude the conference today. We thank you all for your participation. Now you may get disconnected.